Our exit poll is suggesting that there will be a Conservative majority, the Conservatives on 368 seats and Labour way down on 191. Now, on those figures, we are looking at a Conservative majority of 86.
Well, we have the exit poll. The polls are closed. And the exit poll is predicting that the Conservatives are going to have a landslide, winning 368 seats, Labour on 191 seats, the SNP on 55 seats, Plaid Cymru on 3, the Greens on 1, and others on 19. So that would be a Tory majority of 86, which would be quite something, particularly given the way that polls have been going in recent days. I'm Isabel Hardman and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. James, this is a surprising result, isn't it?
Yes, I think the Tories were hoping for a majority, but I think they were thinking of a majority in the 20 to 50 range, not of this size and this magnitude. One of the things that I think is striking about it is the exit poll comes with a projection for every seat. And it looks like the Tories have had a very bad night in Scotland. The SNP got to 55 MPs. It looks like they've had a bad night in London, losing cities of London and Westminster. But they are still on course for this big majority. And I think that shows that they have taken a wrecking ball through that infamous Labour red wall. You know, Tony Blair's old seat of Sedgefield on this projection is going Tory. Hartlepool, you know, where they used to joke that they would joke that the same people there would vote for a monkey with a red rosette, has gone Tory. And I think what you see here is a 1-2 punch was done for Labour. The first is Brexit and their equivocation on that issue, that feeling that they were not respecting the referendum result, in inverted commas, to use one of Boris Johnson's favourite phrases. And the second is Jeremy Corbyn. You know, in 2017, the Tories thought that Corbyn would deliver them a landslide. Instead, he turned out to be a much more popular politician in that campaign than the Tories had expected. It turns out that in 2019, I think Jeremy Corbyn has delivered them a landslide, because it was that interaction between Brexit and Corbyn that has cost Labour so dearly.
And Katie, what does this mean for the Labour Party? This is their worst result since 1935, if the exit poll is to be believed. They've gone below what Michael Foot got in 1983. They can't say that they've done surprisingly well as they did in 2017. So this means a change of leader, doesn't it?
Yes, look, if this poll is correct, and you know, exit polls aren't always 100% accurate, but it would be very, I think it's hard to imagine this exit poll being so wrong that the Tories haven't had a very good night and the Labour haven't had a very bad night. And I think if it is correct, we are looking at a change of leader. There has been succession talk ahead of the result. There is various theories going around, but one thing that's being discussed, and I've heard discussed again since this exit poll, is the idea that you could have Jeremy Corbyn stand down as soon as tomorrow and perhaps John McDonnell step in as an interim leader. And I think we are heading to a Labour leadership contest. And when it comes to that battle, again, these conversations have been going on as this campaign has gone on, because it just hasn't looked good for Labour, particularly in the North and the Midlands. And it's now going to be a battle for the soul of the Labour Party and what direction it should take. And one of the reasons those on, I suppose, the Corbyn side of the party want to try and delay a leadership contest or a full-blown one is that they worry a leadership contest straight after a bad result, such as the one tonight, could help candidates like Keir Starmer and Emily Thornberry, who would perhaps suggest a slight change in approach, moving more to the centre. And instead, I think what those around Jeremy Corbyn and definitely John McDonnell will want is instead a focus on candidates like Rebecca Long-Bailey, Angela Rayner and Laura Pidcock. But on Laura Pidcock, let's see what happens to her seat tonight, because her seat of North West Durham is not a sure thing. It would be a big win for the Tories if they took it, but campaigners there do sound quite worried about the Labour situation.
Well, James, let's talk about some of the seats to look out for over the next few hours. What have you got your eye on?
Well, I think it is looking to see whether two referendums have severed Labour's hold on its two traditional heartlands, you know, Scotland and industrial England. The 2014 Scottish independence referendum basically broke that link in Scotland. And you look at the results tonight, you know, Labour are not going to be coming back with a Scottish contingent. And the question is whether the Brexit referendum, whether we're seeing a delayed effect that we didn't see in 2017 and are now seeing it in 2019, where the classic Labour heartland seats are going blue en masse. And I think that is the thing to watch. And I think one of the big questions for Labour is, they've undoubtedly, looking at this exit poll projection, had a good day, a good night in London. And I think one of the questions for Labour is, you know, do they decide to double down on trying to become a kind of party of metropolitan graduates, believing that demographic change is going to ultimately get them over the line? Or do they try and find some way to reconnect with their traditional heartlands?
Katie, which seats are you looking out for?
Well, I think tonight, if you're speaking to Labour activists, if you're speaking to those in the Tory party, as James touched on, there is a sense that the Tories have done very well in the North and the Midlands. But there was a strong sense earlier, and I sensed some Tory nerves, about how they were faring in London and the South. So I think we need to see the scale. If those were unfounded, you know, what seats are they clinging on to? And what's happening with Dominic Raab's seat, for example? Because I still think if you speak to Labour figures tonight, yes, this is a very bad night for them, but I think they hope to take a few sculpts with them on the way down, so to speak, in terms of high-profile Tory figures. And I think the other thing to watch for tonight is ultimately the Liberal Democrats. The exit poll is suggesting they've only won 13 seats. I don't expect this to lead to calls for Jo Swinson to go, but this is an incredibly disappointing result for a party that at the beginning of this election was talking about how Jo Swinson could be the next Prime Minister. So how do they respond to this?
So I think Jo Swinson will be having a very long night of the soul tonight, because this election happened in large part because of her. Previously, Boris Johnson kept trying to get that election, and he kept not having the numbers because he didn't have a majority in Parliament. It was when Jo Swinson and the SNP decided that they wanted to push for an election that, you know, Labour were essentially shamed into backing one. And I think that is what lots of people on the Remain side, I think, will be saying to Jo Swinson, that she made a massive tactical error by giving Boris Johnson this election, which he then won. I think Jo Swinson would say in her defence that, you know, Parliament couldn't agree on anything, so there was going to have to be an election at some point. But, you know, I think that Jo Swinson will be having a difficult night tonight.
And Katie, you were up in Scottish seats watching the battles there during this election campaign. The SNP looked to have consolidated their hold, even though the Tories were quite confident. So tell us a little bit more about this result for them.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is the Scottish Conservatives ahead of this result did sound quite bullish. They thought they had managed to unite the unionist vote. And even today, they thought they'd successfully got their vote out. Now, the majorities in Scotland are notoriously flimsy, so I suppose we should wait to see the exact results here. But I think that if you look at the exit poll tonight, it's clearly very good news for the Conservative Party. But I think what will worry some, particularly the strong unionists within the Conservative Party, is that if it is correct, pressure is only going to build for a second independence referendum in Scotland. And even if the Tories do deny it, as Boris Johnson has said he will, it doesn't really suggest that rosier picture, I suppose, for the future of the union, at least in the short term. And the Conservative government is going to have a job on its hands trying to fix that.
James.
Ruth Davidson, if his exit poll is right, is going to have to swim naked across Loch Ness.
Well, I could give her some tips on cold water swimming, because it's not the time of year to be doing that. James, one thing we do know is that Brexit is likely to get done now, to slightly adapt Boris Johnson's slogan throughout this campaign.
Yes, the UK is now undoubtedly going to leave on the 31st of January. This will not be another missed deadline. And I think the other thing about this is the size of this majority makes Boris Johnson master of all he surveys. You are not be in a situation now where small groups of Tory MPs on either side of the debate about Europe will be able to hold him hostage. He will have a much, much freer hand to negotiate the future partnership with the EU than anyone expected. And I think this is now a kind of tabula rasa for him to draw on. Because, you know, obviously he's going to have to get the EU to agree to it, but we're not in a position where, you know, a small group of MPs on either the close alignment wing of the party or the ERG will be able to hold him hostage. He has a lot of political capital and a lot of room for manoeuvre if his exit poll is correct.
Well, thank you, James, and thank you, Katie. And we'll have more podcasts through the night and into the early hours of the morning. We also have a live blog on Coffee House. We've got a list of key seats to look out for and what time they're expected to declare, and the 14 senior politicians who might have a Portillo moment tonight. Thanks for listening, and do join us again for the next podcast.